1 Kings chapter number 18 this morning. 1 Kings 18. On this new year, I was looking at some things with regard to Sunday school. We were talking about worship in our Sunday school hour this morning, in the book of Ezra, chapter number 3. And I was thinking, as I was thinking about that and studying that, the Lord brought my mind to this passage in 1 Kings chapter number 18, a matter where the people's worship was not what it should be. And it's really going to be a kind of a two-part message, okay? The part that I intended on doing today, the Lord backed me up a little bit further in the passage where I was at, and I'm going to divide it in half this morning. I want to talk this morning about dealing with a spiritual crisis. When you take a look at our nation, our nation is in a world of hurt right now, spiritually speaking. And there's a reason for that. The reason is sin. We know that the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, I want to, in the next 2 weeks, and we're going to take a look today at dealing with spiritual crisis, and then we're going to be taking a look at, I was focusing on the altar, because we're dealing with the altar that was being rebuilt in Ezra's chapter number 3 this morning, and we'll see Elijah rebuilding the altar of God, and some things regarding him rebuilding that altar. But that's next week, okay? You have to come back next week to get that part of the message. But this morning, I want us to focus on dealing with a spiritual crisis. And here we see the nation of Israel, God's people, whom He had made into a nation. And He made them into a nation in fulfillment of His promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And they're in a serious crisis of their own making, much like our nation is in a serious crisis of its own making. Understand, it was God who had sanctified Israel. He set them apart unto Himself for His own purposes. That's what sanctification means. But they had strayed from Him again. As you look through the Old Testament, you see countless times, God's love for Israel. They would serve Him for a while and then they would begin to drift. They would begin to be disobedient to Him, and as they sinned, as they got astray, they developed into a crisis situation. And here we see them in a crisis situation once again. And I said that this is a crisis situation of Israel's own making, because it was the result of them having forsaken God and His commandments to follow Balaam or Baal. Now, notice verse number 17. 1 Kings 18, verse number 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. Elijah's the prophet of God. Ahab is the wicked king of Israel here. And Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Isn't that the way it is in our nation today? They think Christians are the problem. And as you Bible thumpers, that the reason why we got so many problems in our nation. No, the problem is sin. That's the problem. And verse 18 says, "And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and this is our key verse here this morning. He came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him." And the people answered him not a word. Understand that the worship of Baal appealed to the flesh. Appeal to man's flesh. Israel's flesh. Just as much as a lot of the present day so-called worship appeals to folks' flesh. There's a lot of things that people call worship that's not worship. Make no mistake, what they're doing is worship. but it's not worship that's acceptable to God. We see a lot of worship going on in this chapter, and we'll see some more next week as we get into that second part of the chapter. But the worship of those in the majority here was not acceptable unto God. But I want us to look closely at this crisis situation here that developed. Number one, understand that where sin reigns, there is crisis to all those who are involved. If you see sin in control, sin reigning, you've got a problem. I don't care whether you talk about on a national level, if sin reigns in a nation, that nation's in trouble. If sin reigns within a church, that church is in trouble. If sin reigns within a family, that family's in trouble. But make no mistake about it, if sin is reigning in your life, you are in trouble this morning. If sin has got a hold of you and has gripped you and is in control and moves you, your life is in trouble. Anytime and anywhere and on any level that sin reigns, a crisis situation will develop. Now I want you to see sin and sinners reigned in Israel, causing the crisis situation that we see. As I said, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. And it bore itself true in the nation of Israel. Anytime that they would follow the Lord and be obedient to the Lord, things went well with them. Just like the Lord had told Moses in the book of Deuteronomy that's recorded that, hey, you do well, things are going to go well. You don't do well, things are not going to go so well. And it just happened just exactly the way the Lord said. In our passage here, we see that the times of blessing for Israel had long passed as there had been over 100 years of wickedness. I want you to think about it. 100 years. In fact, there had not been a king in Israel that had done right in the sight of the Lord for a very long time. You just look at the history. If you read these are the historical books that tell about the kings of Israel and of Judah. And you go back and look at the kings of Israel that were before Ahab, and you'll see that they had not had a king that had done right in the sight of God, but none had been as wicked as Ahab. Ahab was more wicked than them all. The spiritual condition of the nation of Israel was shown by its leadership. There in verse 17 and 18, we saw Ahab thought Elijah's the problem. And there are those in the nation, in our nation today, who think that Christianity and Christians are the problem. But did I tell you, it's those who have taken our nation in the wrong direction that are the problem. Ahab had established idolatry in Israel. He was a dangerous innovator and he was a patron of foreign gods. Look at chapter number 16 for just a moment. Chapter 16, verse number 30. It says, and Ahab, the son of Omri, notice, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. I told you he was the most wicked up to this point. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And this tells you a little something. That name, she was the daughter of Ethbaal. She was the daughter of, that Ethbaal means a man of Baal. So Jezebel's dad was a worshiper of Baal. He was a man of Baal. And Ahab marries Jezebel. So Jezebel has influenced Ahab in his idolatry. Look at verse 32. And he reared up an altar for Baal and the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord of God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now I want you to think about that. Think about all the kings, and there were some wicked kings. There was many kings that didn't do right in the sight of the Lord. But Ahab was above all of them in his wickedness. Look at chapter number 21 for just a moment. Chapter 21, this skips ahead in his life, but it tells us something about his character. Look at chapter 21, 1 Kings 21, verse number 25 and 26. It says here, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which," notice this, "which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorites whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." He was a weak-minded man who lacked moral fiber, and he lacked righteousness in his life. Look, we know there in 1 Kings 21, verse number 4, he acted like a spoiled brat. Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth, the Jezreelite, had spoken to him. What this is dealing with is he was wanting Naboth's vineyard, and Naboth wouldn't sell it to him. And so he begins to pout. He plays pokey lip. You know, pooches that lip out, and he goes back to the house, and he said, he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. "I'm just not going to eat until I get that." Well, Jezebel said, "Hey, cheer up. I'll get it for you." And she used her wickedness to get it. She had Naboth killed. He was the tool of his cruel and wicked wife, Jezebel. Ahab and his wife Jezebel had forsaken the commandments of the Lord, had followed Baal wholeheartedly. Now understand, Baal was the chief god that was worshipped by the people of Canaan. And you could really go back and say the problem stemmed from an earlier time of Israel not doing right in the sight of the Lord. Remember when they went into Canaan, they were supposed to wipe out all the Canaanites, right? Supposed to rid it, all that stuff out of the land so that they wouldn't get into a situation like this where they were tempted to follow the gods of the land. They didn't do that. And this was partly the result of that. The spiritual condition of the nation was shown not only by its leadership, but it was shown by its people. There in our text, chapter 18 and verse number 21, we read, it said, "Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And we see the condition of the people right here. "And the people answered him not a word." Sad, isn't it? The Israelites were tempted continually to forsake the Lord, to forsake the worship of the true God of heaven for the worship of Baal instead. Understand that the worship of Baal was frequently connected with immorality, which is one of the reasons, I really think it's the primary reason, that the Israelites were so sorely tempted by Baal worship, because it appealed to the flesh. The devil still uses the lust of the flesh to draw men away from God. But we see the problem is that the people of God did not want to wholly commit themselves unto God. They were satisfied with just straddling the fence. "Well, we'll do the Lord God of Jehovah thing over here, but we still want to do the Baal thing over here." That's what we see here. They were between two opinions. They liked their Baal worship because it appealed to the flesh, but they still wanted to hold on to God. They were just like a lot of folks today who want to ride the fence. They weren't really opposed to the Lord being worshipped, but they wanted to hang on to the Lord and Baal at the same time, but that will not work. If the Lord be God, follow Him. See, where sin and sinners reign today, it still causes a crisis situation. Proverbs 14:34 says, "Sin is a reproach to any people." You know, that applies even today. Sin is a reproach. It doesn't matter which nation it is, doesn't matter who the people are, doesn't matter what their background is. We can go back to our founding and say, well, you know, you look at our founding fathers, and boy, you know, our nation was founded upon godly principles, and the Word of God was used, and this was, you know, we got all kinds of quotes on the statues and monuments there in Washington, D.C., and boy, isn't it a great thing that we're founded on Christian principles? Well, it is, but it's not going to be our saving grace. It's not, because sin has become a reproach. When you look at what alcohol and drug dependency have done to the moral breakdown in our society, the breakdown of the societal mores, it's robbed our nation in many ways and at many levels. It steals, kills, and destroys life and liberty. So the devil. But look at what the violation of the Lord's commandments has brought our society. I just want to take a few of the Lord's commandments this morning. I want to take a look at how our nation has gotten away from God. The Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," in Exodus chapter number 20. What we would call the God's top 10, the Ten Commandments. Amen? I think we know what that those commandments, not all the commandments that were given to the people of God, but they were part and they were pivotal. And the first one says that you should have no other gods before me. And we see that we were founded and once were, but we no longer are one nation under God. Now, it's still in our pledge, one nation under God, but we're one nation under gods today. We're a nation under many gods who have become tolerant to all gods except the one true God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you noticed how they're tolerant of Hindu, tolerant of the Muslims, they're tolerant of this and that and the other, but when it comes to Christianity, oh, we don't want to hear Christianity mentioned in the public circle. Another commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I remember as a young boy growing up in Brunswick, Georgia, you didn't hear God's name being used in vain. It was something that was not done, especially in public. I mean, it was very, very much looked down on. But the name of God and His Son have become bywords and are used in the most heinous and disrespectful ways today in our nation, even by those who are in authority. Have you noticed how many of our politicians are taking the name of the Lord in vain? The names of God and the Lord Jesus are used in conjunction with curse words openly and continually with no regard for God. And now they are even forbidden. It's forbidden to use the name of God. You'll see instances where somebody's asked to pray. Well, you don't pray in the name of Jesus. You know, don't be offensive in the way that you pray. You know, as you pray, just make it all general, encompassing, so everybody's is okay with it and it's not going to offend somebody. Could I tell you, God's offended by that? Let's take another commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. Disrespect for those in authority is now rampant in our society. We've seen this in this past year. The worst displays of anti-authority, I'm talking about police officers, teachers in the classroom, you know, people that are in authority places where they can't handle situations that are going on because of the disrespect that is there. But you know, I believe you can trace this disrespect for authority outside the home back to disrespect of authority within the home. That's where it began. Man, if we disrespected our mom and dad, it wasn't tolerated when I was growing up. But you notice how much it's tolerated today? People, the children, and I'm talking about little kids, disrespect their mamas and daddies, and I'm talking about out in public, no regard for their parents. If I hadn't talked the way some of them talk to their mom and dad, I wouldn't be here to preach to you today. I wouldn't be alive. But the disrespect for authority within the home can be traced to the disrespect of God in our society. That's where it goes back to. When you disrespect God, there's going to be disrespect in the home. When there's disrespect in the home, it's going to be out in other places of authority. Thou shalt not kill. Life has become cheap in our country. Whenever life is considered cheap, that's a crisis situation. I was deeply mad, I guess you could say, upset over Congress passing and including in the latest spending bill the funding, once again, of Planned Parenthood, after Planned Parenthood was caught on camera. It was not out of context. The stuff that was they were shown was not out of context. They were selling pieces of babies, selling parts of unborn children. And you're made to become a part of that, paying your taxes. Isn't that something? When our government continues to promote and fund the murder of millions of unborn children for what it deems the greater good or in the name of the choice of the woman, can I tell you that's a crisis? You know, they want to talk about, the problem in our society is too many people being killed by handguns. Not as many being killed by handguns as being killed by the surgeon's scalpel. By the abortionists. Take another one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And let's add to that all the other laws of God against immorality. You look at what immorality has done to our society. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I remember the call for so-called free love back in the 60s. Well, that's led to a free fall this year. I'm talking about a free fall of morals in our society. We are in the midst of a free fall. It's not going to stop with the gay marriage thing. It's not stopping at all. The sensuality that is so pervasive in life, in music, and in entertainment, has now led to the toleration of public acts and displays of lewdness and vulgarity, which has consequently led to a widespread acceptance of that which the Lord calls an abomination. And people are even calling for us as a church to join in and embrace that cause. And other churches have. This downward spiral into reprobation, which is judgment in itself, has made our nation ripe for further judgment. Look at Romans chapter 1 for just a moment. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Look at verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now what that verse is saying is that you've been taught what right and wrong is. You know, you hold the truth. You got the truth, but you hold that truth and you continue to cling to unrighteousness. God's wrath is revealed against that ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. It's talking about the conscience of man. Man has a God consciousness. Those who say they don't believe in God, they know there's a God. God's put it in them. They know there's a God. It's just they don't want to acknowledge God. Because if they acknowledge God, then they have to say, hey, somebody got right to tell me what's right and what's wrong. Notice verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Can I tell you, friend, the creation shows that there's God. But men have grabbed hold to the Darwinism and evolution, and they've denied God. Notice verse 21, because that when they knew God, there was a time when our nation embraced God, when they embraced the truths of this book. It's even in our founding documents that God was creator. It talks about being endowed by our creator. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Why is there so much darkness in our society today? It's because people have pushed God off, by and large. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That word uncleanness is talking about impurity, physically or morally impure. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Yeah, your tree huggers, your save the whales people. They're not for saving the babies in the womb. But don't you dare mess with a turtle leg. Yeah, that's right. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use. The word natural is talking about the instinctive use. That which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. You know, how God created us, the natural, what a man feels for a woman and a woman feels for a man. That's what it's speaking of, the instinctive. They leaving that. They burn in lust. One toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. When man continues to push God out of their mind, God gives them over to reprobation. To do those things which are not convenient. And this is what happens. When you're given over to a reprobate mind, and you can tell that many in our society have been given over to a reprobate mind because, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. And that word implacable means you cannot be calmed or appeased. Does that not describe the movements that we see in our day in this past year? The Black Lives Matter movement and All Lives Matter. I mean, listen, it cannot be calmed or appeased. Unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Listen, the downward spiral into reprobation is part of God's judgment, but it leads to further judgment. We can take a look at other things this morning. Thou shalt not steal. The breakdown of morals in general has led to an increase of thefts because people now feel entitled. I ought to have that. I'm entitled to have that. And, they got plenty. They can do without. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Lying is tolerated, not dealt with at the highest levels of government. We see it. We're lied to on a repeated basis. I mean, the thing about what happened with the Republicans that we placed in there who passed this spending bill that included the Planned Parenthood is that some of them lied to get into office. They lied to get in office. And so people see them lie. I say, okay, well, they lied, we'll lie. That's not God's way. People trying to justify their own lying and deceit. Thou shalt not covet. Listen, wherever God has been pushed out, there's a void that causes discontentment that cannot be satisfied. I don't care what you do. ever how you try to fill the void, you will not be satisfied without Jesus in your life. Where sin and sinners reign today, it still causes a crisis situation. We've talked about how that's true in society, but listen, it's also true in the church and those who make up the church. You think about the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church had all kinds of evils within it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. The book of 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to straighten up the problems that were there. They were a church. They had come to know God, but they were not all of them were living like they knew God. Does that sound familiar? 1 Corinthians 6. Notice what Paul says here in verse number 9. He says, "Know ye not," 1 Corinthians 6, 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." He's trying to remind them, those things ought not to be in your life. "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Listen, when church drifts with society, it's not a good thing. What has happened in our society is people in society, let's say we're going to this direction. This is the wickedness. Society drifts more and more wicked. And they've moved from there to here. But the problem with the church is the church also has moved. I represent the church. Now, the world used to be right there. But it's way over there now. But the church is here. Well, we're not like them. And I tell you, when the church drifts with society, even though they may not be as bad as society, it's a bad thing. It's a crisis situation. God wants us to be pure. When the church is not a godly example, it's not a good thing. When the church yields to adopting societal standards over God's standard, it's not a good thing. We see that happening in our nation. They're adopting what society says, okay, well, it's legal now, and this is okay now. No, it's not okay with God. If it's not okay with God, it's not okay. When sin reigns in a family, that family is in a crisis situation. We could go look at some examples in Scripture. We'll not take time this morning, but Lot's family, Genesis 19. Remember, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom? And Sodom got into his kids and their spouses, and he couldn't get Sodom out. He took his daughters out of Sodom, but Sodom was still in them, and they did wickedly. His sons-in-law laughed at him. Think of Eli's family in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Here's Eli, supposed to be a man of God, and his sons didn't even know the Lord. God wound up killing them and judging Eli because he didn't have control over his kids. When sin reigns in a family, that family's in a crisis situation. When sin reigns in an individual's life, though, that individual is in a crisis situation. And we could take a look at some examples this morning. Achan in Joshua chapter number 7, as Israel was going in to conquer the Canaan land, and their first opponent was there in Jericho. And God said, "Don't partake of the accursed thing. You know, everything's to be destroyed. You know, there's certain things that belong to the Lord. Don't mess with the accursed thing." Achan, he coveted, he took a wedge of gold, Babylonian garment. You know, he took those things within, hid them. He sinned, and it brought a crisis in his life. Wound up losing his life and the life of his family. Think of Samson in Judges chapter 13 through 16. Samson is supposed to be a man of God. Samson was supposed to be, he was a judge that God was going to use to help deliver Israel. But Samson didn't want to live separated life. He kind of toyed with sin, kind of played with sin. It brought a crisis situation in his life. He wound up getting a haircut he didn't expect and lost his eyesight and eventually lost his life. Think of Demas in the New Testament. Demas once served God, was right there by Paul's side working in the ministry. But then he got his eyes on the world, and Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It affected his life, didn't it? It affected him. So what's the answer for dealing with spiritual crisis? It's found in our text here. Verse number 21 of 1 Kings 18. Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." See, the answer for dealing with the spiritual crisis, first of all, stop straddling the fence. Choose who you're going to serve. Who is really God? Which God is really God? There's only one. There's only one. The Lord God Jehovah is the only God. Figure it out and follow Him. That's it. I mean, if the Lord be God, follow Him. And could I tell you this morning, in this new year, the Lord wants you to follow Him. And if you're going to avoid the crisis that sin brings in your life, you need to follow the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5, is the verses that are most precious to Jews, known as the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Can I tell you, there's the key right there. And that's what he was saying right here. If the Lord be God, follow Him wholeheartedly. Same thing as what the Shema said. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." If you love the Lord your God wholeheartedly, you'll follow Him. Amen. And things will be better in your life. Dealing with spiritual crisis. We see that the people answered him not a word. Next week we're going to take a look at the worship that was going on there for Baal and the worship that Elijah did for the Lord. Elijah was one of the first things he did. You notice in verse 30, Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. Notice what he had to do. "And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." That's a mouthful. How did the altar of the Lord get broken down? We're going to take a look at that. I trust that you'll join us next week. Amen. But this morning, I wonder, how are things between you and the Lord? Do you know God? Do you know Him in salvation? If He be God, follow Him. Don't be one of those who answers not a word. You just kind of, you're there, you're straddling the fence, and that's where you stay. It's not going to go well for you. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that you take these words. If there's one here today, Lord, whose lives are in a spiritual crisis because of sin in their lives, I pray that they'll find their way back to you today. That they'll follow you. That they'll see that you are God. That you are the one they're in embrace with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul. Lord, have your will and way in this invitation today. Help us to be what we should be personally in this coming year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand.
Page 333.
If you need the Lord this morning, I'll be standing down front. If you come see me, we'll get you some help today. We'll take you apart in private, show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Not here to embarrass anybody. We're just here to help today. Why don't you come?